Hello everyone, this is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light. I regret to say that once again we have a week without Sheldon Neidl's report. To my knowledge, there is no news as to when they will restart, but I have to believe that possibly next week we'll see the first one again, and in view of what has taken place over the last few weeks, since the last report, it's got to be very interesting to see what his contacts come out with. Obviously, the general news at the moment centres around what is happening in the Middle East. And strangely enough, there's been very little in the way of reports on the net, at least as far as I have seen. But the matter has been referred to, I think, on a daily basis in my own reports. So perhaps that is a good place to start. I'll, rather than read out of the reports, I will generalise, because obviously I have a general impression of what they're saying. And it basically comes down to the fact, I think, that it has to get worse before it gets better. And that statement was made actually some little while ago now. And what we're seeing at present may well be the ultimate result of what has been started in the Middle East, although clearly there is a risk that the prolonged war may yet bring Iran and Syria into it. And I think that would be rather disastrous. But on the other hand, if that happens, and George Bush, as he well might, carries out what he has referred to as his right to carry out preemptive attacks, who knows, that may actually be the end of all those confrontations, because it could well be that our ET friends have been given some degree of authority to prevent the matter getting out of hand. I suspect that is so, and indeed it was quite some years ago that they predicted that there would be a war in the Middle East, not that the Israeli one, of course, has been the first one by any means, but they also made the point that there could have been a minor nuclear confrontation, but then in latter years they have actually stated that they would not allow such weaponry to be used, so that must give us some comfort. In my messages, the latest one today did say that it was possible for there to be a peace settlement in the Middle East, and clearly there does come a point where something of that nature has to be sorted out. But at the moment, it doesn't seem that either side would find any resolution that's likely to be put forward acceptable to them. So perhaps we are seeing, as they often say, perhaps the beginning of the end in what is happening in the Middle East. So we wait perhaps with our breath held a little bit to see what the outcome is. With the absence of a message from Sheldon Neidl, we do not at the moment have the latest one from Matthew, but I think that normally comes out possibly sometime in the course of the next week, possibly towards the weekend. So what I have today is the general news, my usual UFO spot, which covers anything of that nature, including ETs and any matters perhaps relating to space, and quite a few interesting messages that are basically perhaps of a spiritual nature or of general interest. So anyway, I'll carry on and read through the articles that I have that constitute what I call my general news. Now, yesterday on the internet, there was an article that came out regarding the Malaysia Sun, and it was quoted of one that came out on the 8th of August, which was last Tuesday, and it is about the Presbyterian Church, which published a 9/11 conspiracy theory. And the short article reads as follows, that the Presbyterian Church, USA's publishing arm, has released a book that says President Bush organized New York's September the 11th attacks. The decision by the 160-year-old Westminster John Knox Press, the trade and academic publishing imprint of the Presbyterian Publishing Corporation, to attribute the attacks on the World Trade Center brings into the U.S. religious mainstream a conspiracy theory long held by the world's jihadists. In Christian faith and truth, behind 9/11, a call to reflection and action, author David Ray Griffin calls the United States the world's chief embodiment of demonic power, saying he initially scoffed at 9/11 conspiracy theories, but after investigating, he concluded that the Twin Towers were brought down by controlled demolition. Military personnel were given stand-down orders not to intercept hijacked flights, and a 9/11 commission, ostensibly created to uncover the truth behind the events of 9/11, simply ignored evidence that the administration was involved in the attack. Griffin further asserts that such events, such as that of 9/11, are part of a long history of false flag attacks, that is, attacks orchestrated by governments against their own people to garner popular support for military action. And the article concludes that Griffin is a professor at California's Claremont School of Theology and Claremont graduate University and a co-director of the Center for Process Studies. And I know from other articles that have passed through my hands that David Ray Griffin has in fact been giving talks on that matter as well. So there we are. That's a very brave bit of action and a brave statement, I think. It's not one that lacks any backup or evidence to support it. But the more people, I think, that are prepared now to come out and line up with this, as we call it, conspiracy theory, perhaps the sooner it will ensure that the truth comes out. But of course, people who carry out these covert actions will always try to cover their tracks, and they clearly will do their very best to block any actual release of the truth that will be of a general nature and perhaps be more informative to the general public at large. So I guess until it gets into the media and gets a good spread there, it will for the moment only be known to those people perhaps that take the trouble to find out what the truth is. Now, I've got one here that I marked up as one that got away. And this comes off the 4winds10.com site. And I'm just looking back at an ASARA update for August the 3rd by Patrick Bellringer. And it was one that said that he was told that the public announcement of an ASARA was planned for Thursday evening, August the 3rd. And, of course, I gave my radio program on Friday the 4th. So I did comment on the fact that I hadn't heard anything about the announcement at that particular stage, so I would hold on and come back to it this week. But I have to say, in the meantime, unless there is something unknown to me, that announcement has not come forward. So that's a pity, but it does make you wonder how these very predictions come about. With that, Patrick said it was his understanding that at that point that both George Bush Jr. and Dick Cheney were arrested, incarcerated and taken to the Hague, Netherlands. But one would suppose that when we see TV showing George Bush Jr. or Dick Cheney, in fact, that is incorrect. Unless, of course, there is some reference here to something that I found rather difficult to accept, and that is the fact that certainly George Bush is a clone. But there you are, that's another matter. But I assume that actually refers to George Bush and Dick Cheney in person. So that was one that got away. Going back a couple of weeks, there was a release called Big News, which came through an article by Greg Szymanski. And it was referring to something that's come up now a couple of times about the release of the $4.5 trillion in repatriated offshore funds, which are due to go to the Ameritrust. And anyone who's read about it or followed it will know that George Bush was given an ultimatum to release these funds on the 31st of July, but he evidently blocked it. So the only recourse now is to take legal action against him. I thought it was interesting looking back at this particular article, and it was saying, and I quote, the impact has been felt and there is considerable movement within the Bush administration to release the money. We have heard there is a lot of pressure from G8 members. They, of course, are a group of the eight industrialized nations, to release the funds by the end of the business day on Monday, July the 31st. And it mentions that Leo Wanta, the legal trustee of more than $27.5 trillion in offshore funds illegally diverted by the last three presidential administrations, recently entered into a $4.5 trillion settlement with US authorities on the direction of two federal court judges. And it mentions in here already that President Bush and the Fed have illegally blocked the money for over a month. And of course, it talks of Leo Wanta losing his patience and then handing out this ultimatum as to the date when the money should be handed over. Or he said he intended to file a federal lawsuit as well as proceed after the entire $27.5 trillion, which may have matured over the years to $70 trillion. There we are. That's a massive amount of money, and that is another big article and something that I'm sure people will keep an eye on as far as the developments. Now, the final item I have in the general news is one that came off the website YouTube.com, or yeah, I think it's a play on YouTube to be or something like that, but it's YouTube.com, and they are talking of victory as Comcast runs the Impeach PAC ad. And the article reads that today, and this was the 4th of August, Comcast, the nation's largest cable company, announced they would broadcast Impeach PAC's TV ad, criticising Joe Lieberman in advance of Tuesday's primary in Connecticut. And they say there is one simple reason why they changed their minds, because hundreds of you called Comcast's president, Brian Roberts, and politely asked the Comcast to support the First Amendment. And the article says, you made the difference, thank you. Our ad, it was meant to have an impact, but some thought it was confusing, so we produced a shorter ad that packs more direct punch. And they say it's called Lie and Die, and you can actually watch it on http://youtube.com. So there you are. If you're interested, you can go on that site and read a little bit more about that. Now we'll come to what I call my UFO spot. There hasn't been too much regarding current sightings, but then I suppose they have to be a bit more extraordinary these days to take people's notice. By and large, spotting flying saucers or UFOs, I don't think actually is so unusual. all, it's been going on for about the last 60 years, and in our time started with the saucer flap of 1947. I think, if anything, what's happened over a period of time is that we get more of the multi-sightings, and as anybody who is interested in UFO sightings will know, in Mexico, they've had numerous sightings, and there was one occasion, which was videoed, when there were literally 100 or so lights in the sky, and that was during the daytime. So it seems they choose that area to do these demonstrations, possibly because they get a better reception. I gather that the people there feel quite at home with the idea, and now we have the authorities being, generally speaking, quite open about the sightings. And one of the most recent ones, that I don't actually have the written report in front of me, related to some Mexican fighter planes which were told by radar that there were unidentified objects up in the sky with them, and they couldn't see anything with normal sight, but they switched on their infrared detectors and were able to see craft that were otherwise invisible. And at one stage they were on each side of their plane, and in front and behind. They tried to pursue them, that is, the Mexicans tried to pursue the UFOs, and they got the impression that they were aware of what they were doing. And of course one has to acknowledge that this has happened many times, that when UFOs have been tracked, and perhaps military aircraft to chase them, they have sped off very quickly. And as far as I know, there has never been an incident with them, although some people might quote the ones where craft have disappeared when chasing them. There is a feeling and a feedback from the ETs that if the craft have got too near, they've sometimes been the craft and the pilot aboard the UFO. So there we are. I don't think there have been any crashes, although it is rumoured there might have been three where the pilots died in their attempts. Not quite sure what that signifies as far as the crashes, but there we are. Now, the report that I've just mentioned to you actually came up on BBC News just a few days ago. And I find that a little unusual, because they're not always, to my mind, open on those sort of subjects. And we have in the UK what they call D-notices, and I guess you get something similar in the States. And they are not allowed to mention certain things on their radio or TV shows. And to my knowledge, one of the most recent D-notices was regarding the triangular UFOs, and I have a personal feeling that that is because if some are seen over here, particularly near the American bases, it could just be that they are the craft that the US military have been able to build through back engineering real UFOs. So I'm thinking that they don't want their craft identified. In fact, I think it was a triangular one where that someone saw in the States, and they were near enough to see that there were some markings on the side of it that actually indicated that it belonged to the US, which is rather strange, isn't it? Anyway, that sighting in Mexico is one of the most current ones, and apparently they did take some video tape, and it was filmed, and they have released it. And apparently one of the people who was involved in that, said that the armed forces don't perpetrate frauds. And he felt it necessary to make that statement after showing the footage at a news conference quite recently. So that's a very interesting one. Normally, videotape and, I'm guessing, good photographs are kept secret and sorted away somewhere, and they don't usually get into the public domain. What I have out of the old flying saucer reviews that I usually look back on and see if I can find things of interest is a couple of contacts, and these were mentioned in the flying saucer review of November-December 1968. But it was an excellent magazine in those days. I think there was a lot of reporting done, a lot of investigation, and they were very good at compiling different types of subject matter related to them. And this particular issue was referring to what they call human eyes contacts. Now, there was one that they called the San Casciano case, and that was near Florence in Italy. It spoke of a man, Mario Sicala, who was 26, married man, and he was returning home along a deserted street, and he felt himself as though struck by a blast of air, and he saw a UFO about 25 feet away in the distance, of a grey colour, in the shape of two plates stuck together. And the object came to a halt at a distance from him, at a height of about 7 or 8 feet. And from its lower portion emerged a cylinder. And he said it was about 3.5 feet in width, until it reached the ground. And then the witness had the impression that when it touched the ground, a cylindrical sheath then re-entered the machine, leaving exposed an inner cylinder in which a door opened slowly from below upwards, and two beings emerged through the opening. Now, their height was about 4 feet or so. They were human-shaped, entirely covered in a kind of shining metallic clothing, and two vertical antennae on their heads. The two individuals took the witness aboard, politely into an open enclosure that was all lit up, and then he heard a voice that did not come from the two individuals, but from the central part of the object. He said it resembled a voice amplified by a microphone, and as if resounding in a vast space. And he said the voice was speaking in Italian. And according to the witness, the message was as follows. At the fourth moon, we will come at 1 o'clock in the morning to give you a message for mankind. We shall give notice of this to another person in order to confirm the reality of what you have seen. And then the object left, and there was no trace whatever on the ground. Unfortunately, because this is a regular magazine, at this stage, there doesn't appear to have been any follow-up to that. Now, we're talking of something that happened here in 1962, a magazine that talks of it in 1968. So whether or not they endeavoured to find out if that second contact was made, we don't know at this stage. But who knows, it might come up in some of the future magazines when I browse through them. The second case was called the Catania case. And again, this was in Italy. And it involved two contacts, both at night. And after having seen flying saucers pass over his house several times, one of the witnesses entered into contact by what he terms mental probes with strange individuals on two occasions. And on the night of April the 30th, 1962, he says he met on the slopes of Mount Etna two individuals about 4 foot in height, of human shape, clad in divers suits, of metallized tissue made of one piece, and with belts emitting intermittent yellow, green, blue light. He said that at a distance of only about 4 feet, one of the individuals dictated to him, in Italian, a message for the powerful ones of the earth exhorting them to peace. And he said that, like the earlier report I quoted, that voice did not have a human timbre, and seemed to be from a tape recording and had a metallic tone. Coming to the edge of a crater, he next observed an object about 45 feet in diameter, the shape of which was indistinct because of the light dazzling from it. And during the night of September the 5th, 1962, which was a few months later, the second meeting was alleged to have taken place. And at a short distance from the witness appeared two individuals whose height was not less than about 6 foot or so, and the light from their belts prevented him from seeing their faces. They were dressed in the same way as the first ones. There was also a message dictated in Italian, and the object was described as an enormous spinning top, about 70 feet wide, suspended in the air. And from the underpart, the witness said, a metallic cylinder over about 9 feet long reached down almost to touch the road with a small door which had a sort of lift. Now, unfortunately, that is where that report ends. Rather strange, really, because one would imagine there must be more to it. But I think the content of it, as far as it goes, is interesting. What surprises me, looking back, is the number of contacts that were made with UFO occupants. It's not something that is raised very often, and the main reference is to the UFOs themselves. And I think when skeptics try to disprove that they're real, they seem to pick on the UFOs rather than the occupants, I suppose, because that would be more difficult to explain away. Anyway, that's the two that I wanted to talk about there from the old Flying Saucer reviews. Now, on a website called projectcamelot.org, they had an interview with someone who preferred not to be named, called Mr. X, who apparently has some contact with the government organisations, I'm guessing here, who deal with perhaps UFO matters. And I thought part of the interview was interesting because he was talking about ETs and then talking about discs and documents that were about them, and apparently these told of a landing in the very near future. And they refer to a time period of 2011 to 2012 and talked of intervening in nuclear conflict. Now, the documents they had explained that the discs were viewed either on the ship itself or in a laboratory on a device from the ship. They also contained symbols that flashed across the screen that were not understood. And this was mentioned along with a plan to try to decipher the symbols. They were the same or similar symbols that were found on some of the I-beams and other pieces that were found at the crash sites, according to these documents. Now, the inference there is obviously that it relates to UFOs or documents or discs that are in some government organization's possession. And this contact was allowed to look at these and possibly involved in translating the information. So he goes on to say that another very interesting part, and he says, of my fact filing mission was the material on the biology, the spirit or soul, and the material on the history of man, including the mention of the red, yellow and blue book. He says not Project Blue Book, but a blue book. And the documentation on the ET science and beliefs relating to biological bodies was at the least fascinating. Now, he quotes the fact that they do not eat and have chlorophyll in their blood is a tough scenario to swallow. But given the next logical step in evolution, it could very well be a benefit. Imagine not having to grow food and taking nutrients from the sun or suns and gathering minerals and material from the atmosphere. Obviously a step toward pure being. Instead of spending our waking hours doing things to nourish and maintain our biological shells. The science of the soul and laboratory generated bodies along with the ability to switch to a new shell when needed is a fascinating concept. He goes on to say that we still forget when we die, and they don't. They do not regard their bodies as sacred or a possession like most human societies do. They do not understand our preservation of self, since they really don't have a self. At least if they lose theirs, they can get a new one and no harm done. They regard our spirit or soul as equal to theirs. In fact, it is indicated in several documents that according to them, our spirit is the same as theirs. We just have more physical attachment to our bodies than they do. They also have been noted as saying that we choose to remain as earth beings and come back life after life because we know our path and that is where we are supposed to be. Now, in another part of the interview, Mr. X was asked how was working with this material, hands-on, change your world view? Do you have a different point of view of the future due to the things you have seen? And he replied, this is a big one for me, yes, my world view is changed. But my world view isn't that different than it was before the assignment. I always knew something was not right. Why spend your life struggling to keep a shell alive? That is all we do. He went on to say that ETs do not have a monetary system, and that we shouldn't either, and that he would be glad to do his job 8 hours a day for a simple life and transportation to get where he needed to do his job and provide for others. And he said, I do not like being controlled by oil or anything else, nor do I like having to destroy the atmosphere to get from point A to B. We have the technology to provide free energy to the entire world in our hands. Just think about it. What a disservice to the citizens of the globe. Same with religion. It's all control us and make us believe we are weaker than we are and have less choice than we do. And that's all religion. I side with none. I believe that the ETs will try to lead us out of the mess we are currently in. I think it's happening already. And 2012 is not that far off. We are fighting over what are billed as religious and holy wars. The earth belongs to nobody, and if we don't take care of it and ourselves as a whole species, we will not survive. That I guarantee. We will not be able to explore all the other worlds that are out there just waiting for us to visit. The most important thing we can do as a species is to become more spiritually connected with our surroundings. We are powerful beings. We use less than 10% of our brains. The other 90% is there for a reason. We need to use it. I think we're going to have a hard time adjusting to knowing our true history, but in the end, we will be better for it. The universe will be ours as it is for other beings. We will then learn to spread life through the universe, like our ET fathers and mothers did for us to exist. We will meet the tall orange beings that created our ET fathers and mothers, and we will learn from them. We will see beautiful planets with unusual life on them. We will understand the secrets for generating civilizations where there are none. We will be looked at as gods by other civilizations. In reality, we already are. We just don't know it or act like it. We have a lot to learn before we go on that adventure. I don't suppose the date matters too much on that type of thing, but I believe that interview was given on the 14th of July this year. But there you are. You can find out more about that on the projectcamelot.org website. Now, an email's been passed around in about the last week. I can't really see that it's got enough detail on it to be of great interest, but it basically, as far as I can see, refers to an article issued by Dr. Boylan, and in it he's talking about ETs who are saying, and I quote, "It is an honour to be in active collaboration with you," and they say that it is important if there is to be a rapid acceptance of star people as just plain folks. And he was asked about producing a flyover. And he said, "I knew it was a high risk, in some people's books, suicidal," and was reminded as such by the counsellor for the Watchers. "I contemplated that perhaps it would be a selfless theta who would step up to the plate and volunteer. Instead, it was an energy-conscious being incarnated into human form." And he says, "You." He said, "I reminded the counsellor that I did not ask for any mission of which I was not prepared for the risk myself, and had previously placed myself in situations where deadly force was authorised and in some cases directed at me. This mission is unavoidably necessary if our society is to survive." And I think what it is basically tied up with is ETs who Dr. Boylan said are about to undertake a world voyage on behalf of humanity in the form of a flyover. Now, I think when the original message came out about a week or so back, seemed to be some indication that it was something that was imminent, but nothing has happened, and now I think it's been put out as something a little bit more open. Anyway, again, that's something worth bearing in mind. I mean, I hope it's true, but nothing quite as definite has come up through my own messages, or I believe those from Sheldon Nidal, and we both channel on behalf of the Black Pit Federation. So it'll be interesting to see if there's any confirmation of these ideas between all three of them. Now, in my other messages, I've got some very interesting ones. They cover quite a variety of subjects. And there's one that came through from Karen Carbo. That's the lady who issues what she calls Just Channelings, which you can subscribe to. It's a Yahoo group. And she does a very excellent job. She produces lists of, I think, anything upwards to about 20 different channeled messages, which she circulates. I think it's on roughly a weekly basis. So she's done very well to attract all that channeling to herself and put it in one package which you can read. This particular one I have here came out on the 8th of August, and it was a channeling by David Reed Lowell, who is on the site davidreedlowell.com. And the last bit of his website is spelled L-O-W-E-L-L, so that's davidreedlowell.com. And it was an article headed, or a channeling headed, The Crystal Skulls, and I thought that was interesting. I've read quite a good book about it, and I find it a fascinating subject. So, of course, this one caught my eye, and I think you equally will find it interesting. So I'll read a reasonable part of this one, because it's hard to take any part of it out. Now, the message, as far as I can see, has come from one called Michael, who calls himself one of the ancients. And listen to this lot. It starts, "Verily, we say to you that this day is a good day and life is truly abundantly enriched. Yes, you mentioned to us the skulls, and we would further say to you that there are five skulls made from liquid crystal and implanted with information of your past, your advanced years, which have long since been forgotten by you, and there is the here and now in this evolving present form. You see, children, gather and hear the story of the olden days of past memories and of your shadows of past yesteryears. These are your beginnings, that which you call alien, that which you shrug from, turning to Christ and being born again in the name of the Saviour, which was implanted as an ascended master to guide you to love and shared acceptances of your similarities. You are so frightened of that which you term or think different than the one of yourselves. But alas, you took this and made yourself a god, whom you have used to separate yourselves from one another along the lines of what you call religion. Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, Christians, and within these subgroupings, all professing, as some do, to be chosen and the only religion to allow those within their conscripts of conformity to ascend to heaven. You still push each other apart and turn from your differences rather than seeing that your differences are your similarities, for they are what all, yes, each of you has. We have heard it asked to us, do you believe in the Christ and do you view Christ as your Saviour? And the answer was, we need no Saviour, for we are of the essence that is already past yet still present and draws upon the future. But we would answer, yes, there is but one God and one beginning, and this God and beginning may have many names and be joined to many stories, for they are as varied as those who ask us these types of questions to prove themselves to themselves. But the fact of the matter is this, you're not of this planet, you're not of this form. For there are many planets we seeded you upon when we ourselves sought to move on through other planets that would hold our race, for we faced extinction. After our world changed, we sought to begin again. Yes, most places proved unstable. In your solar system, there are fluid planets, and planets with moons, with water environments. Even your Mars has rivers and oceans, flowing and moving waters with tributaries and dry land with climate. Yet again, impacted with meteors, and having been shifted, this, alas, was not to be. So we, like other planets in other universes and what you would coin ecosystems, we seeded our best in hopes that one day you would re-evolve into what you are and what we are, and that is a collective essence of being that shares physical form and dimensional form. This is why we can speak, and I can speak, through some that are very limited, but more capable than most to receive our energy. I am he that has been from time and time, from the days of days, too old by your standards to be recalled, and young through your experiences, which we have long since forgotten. We are those, as am I, that came to your place of being so long ago. We started our ascent to your world over 2 to 3 billions of your years ago, and it was about 14 to 16 millions of years of yours ago that meteors hit your planets, including your Mars, and implanted matter, rocks that you will still find embedded in your Earth that retain the elements and microbes and record these events. When those who have form and thought are faced with their own mortality, they use their technology to keep their memory, life and society. Beg your pardon, getting a bit hoarse there. And use their society alive. Yet there was nothing as advanced as we were where we sought to start again. For we had needs, elemental atmospheres, land and liquid, primordial mass, if you will. We needed to shift our dimensional framework and become more and more third dimensional and fixed to this physical plane. And to do so meant we needed to recall and set forth tools that would be utilized as time moved slowly forward and you became more aware of that outside of your fixed reasoning. But then again, I reminisce in stories of days gone by and forget where we are at this discussion. That is here speaking about skulls. Yes, there are five. It feels to us that three have allegedly been discovered, but only two are real. One is with a female and the other housed in a larger structure, a museum or research facility. Yes, there have been fraudulent claims, but these five will need to be placed together during a cycle of energy. Once linked, they will release their story, the knowledge of the days of days in your beginning, where giants walked and what you would call gods ruled and played as children. These skulls were formed in a form that would come to represent your form, so you would recognize that which was familiar to you. It is also true that these were not honed or cut or carved, but formed from liquid and implanted with the information during the liquid heat phase of its formation. Light and energy are key. You are daywalkers. You need the light and energy from light to heal, to restore, and to live. You are liquid and will become more lucid in your beginningness as you evolve, being able to meld, if you will, with elements and shapes that contain what you contain, reflecting that which you touch and sample. Just as your children are beginning to learn by visual cortex stimulus and tactile touch senses, so will you. But as of now, you cannot understand that of which I speak and of which we reference. But now follow your concept of God and higher self. Embrace your sense of Christedness, energy, and seed to save the innocents and never to attempt vengeance. Live with prudent restraint and compassion for all, for in each other's eyes you see yourselves, and in each other's being you see yourself. What makes each of you different is the chance, the sheer chance or mishap that has shaped your life experience. Be patient and kind to each other for now. That is all we will share. There's a footnote here that explains that David Reed Lau is a full trance medium, and he channels the energy of Michael, one of the ancients, and his site is designed for the empowerment of the individual through the divine and development of the inner intuitive self. So there we are. Probably an interesting site to visit. I haven't actually been on that one yet, but I will have a look. Now the second one I have here is also a very recent one that came from Karen through Just Channelings, and it's referred to as an interdimensional communication. And let me refer to who it comes from. It comes through Win Free, who is the principal author of the book The Reincarnation of Edgar Casey. Yes, Edgar Casey, very interesting man and very interesting readings, which have resulted in quite a numerous number of books. And as old as his period of time is, he died in 1944, there's still a lot of good stuff in them. Anyway, back to the article here, which came via email, and it reads, and this is Winfrey speaking here, "I am the principal author of The Reincarnation of Edgar Casey," and apparently that is on the site caseysback.com, "and the direct experiencer of a series of interdimensional communications for the past 4 years, and that apparently is on a separate site, which is called conversationswithmygirlfriend.com. He says, "I've had the opportunity to ask a multitude of questions and have formed a huge overview of what's happening on our planet and why it's happening and how to cope with it. I understand anyone's skepticism regarding channel communications, but the manner in which it all unfolded for me have convinced me that it is very real, and I believe, at least regarding my own personal experience, very positive. I'm not going to give the backup here. You can read the book and check out the websites referred to for your backup. I'm just going to give a quick overview and leave it to you to follow up if it resonates." He says, "First of all, reincarnation is real. We exist as an energy body and a physical body. The energy body is in a matrix and can expand or contract depending on the experience of the physical body. There is a veil that prevents us from the direct experience of our energy body, but in the sleep state, we all make connection with part of ourselves existing in these other dimensions. When we die, the energy body continues and picks up another body to continue its lessons in the physical realm. The better we master the physical, the bigger our space becomes in the matrix. When we meet others and we are in a bigger space, we will have the quality of empathy because we have already gone through their level of experience. We go through a multitude of lifetimes and we can expand or contract depending on the physical experience in any particular lifetime. We can also have lifetimes in higher dimensions. These are two paths of evolution, service to self and service to others. At the highest level, of evolution, we exist as pure energy and become part of a group soul. Group souls act as helpers and guides for planets at lower levels of evolution and are often perceived as God or gods. There are two groups of souls who have been closely involved with the Earth evolution process, that's Elohim and Ra. These two group souls are communicating telepathically with many people on the planet at this time, pretty much giving similar messages. There are also many other life forms which are capable of communicating telepathically. Some service to self, some service to others, so one must evaluate very carefully any type of channeled messages because it is easy to become misled. I have had ongoing communication with a voice that identified itself as the Council of Elohim for the past 4 years. It took me a long time to convince myself that it was real and positive. The communications have taken a form of question and answer sessions, and I would be happy to email anyone in this group an 80-page e-file of some of the sessions over the past 6 months for your own scrutiny. The story of how this contact got started is documented on my website, and he's referring again to the one which I mentioned, conversationswithmygirlfriend.com. Now, he says, our planet is at the end of a 75,000-year cycle. There is an energy in empty space, which some have referred to as the unified field. It's an energy which has been referred to by spiritual groups as prana, chi, organ, etc. This energy has peaks in it, and a major peak occurs every 75,000 years, or December of 2012. The Mayans were in contact with these same group souls, which is why they knew to end their calendar on that date. The peak in energy is causing the vibration of the planet to upgrade from third chakra to fourth chakra, or from power to heart. In order for a human to participate in this upgrade, for their own energy field has to be open in their heart area or the heart chakra, or their energy will not fit into this new paradigm. So there will be a division of souls, those who upgrade and those who are cycle repeaters. The soul matrix energy of the cycle repeaters will be moved to another planet in another star system to continue their third chakra evolution for perhaps hundreds of thousands of years until they get another chance to participate in an upgrade. Jesus was a member of one of these group souls who volunteered for a series of incarnations on Earth to try to prepare mankind for this event. Earth itself was a destination for cycle repeaters from other planets going through their upgrade. The group souls are the ones who can move souls from one planet to another. Earth was an experiment where it became a destination for cycle repeaters from one planet to be moved together to continue on another planet, instead of having many populations on the same planet. So black people are from one planet, Chinese from another, etc., etc. The experiment didn't work because the various planetary populations competed and didn't get along. There was a call in the higher realms for volunteer souls who had already completed the need for physical incarnation to incarnate on Earth to lift the vibration here and increase the number of people who would graduate. These volunteers knew they would forget why they came here because of the veil of forgetfulness that comes with a physical experience. In current time, many of these volunteers are what is termed indigos. The Ra group calls these volunteers wanderers. I would guess that many who are interested in ET phenomena would fit into this category. Most wanderers who incarnate here totally forget their mission and end up those with things like ADD, chronic fatigue, alienation, etc. Many planetary populations are observing this transition on our planet. Some are service to self and some are service to others. The service to self would like to impede the graduation. Service to self, higher dimensional beings can also come through channels and can masquerade as positive when they have other agendas. Much of the turmoil in the world today is originating from the channelings of service to self beings. Now, that is really the end of what Winfrey has to say about that. Sounds extraordinary. extremely interesting, I think. And I must say, in my own experience, I can go along, I would say, with everything that he said there about our evolution. So he's certainly channeling from a very reliable source. Now, I haven't got too much time left, so I don't want to get involved in something that is too detailed. But yet again, there is another channeling here. This time it's from a Karen, but this is a different website, which is What's Upon Planet Earth, or What's Up on Planet Earth.com. Now, there are one or two paragraphs in this particular article that I thought were worth noting and worth reading out. And they were talking of January this year as being a month that would be the start of the grand unfoldment. Now, this article came out in December 2005, so it was obviously in anticipation of the new year. And it was saying at that time that that current time of decisions at the highest levels is like no other. And come January, that we will be anchored in so deeply and so assuredly that a bulldozer could not budge us, and we certainly could not be budged by any upheavals or darker energies either. And it goes on to talk about it being a most miraculous and amazing time. And quote, we are literally being transported to a new reality in a new dimension where nothing will ever be the same again. We have left one world and are at the threshold of entering another. We are about ready to be reborn with a new identity and the opportunity to begin our new role. The role of our soul purpose, the role of our higher self. The role much more integrated with Source, the role as a representative from our families, from the stars. Reading on a bit, it says, and there is more going on during this brief period of transition that is now occurring as we prepare to enter the new world in 2006. As mentioned in the energy alert of December the 12th, we are bottoming out in regard to our old roles and our old means of support. We are in between, so to speak, as part of this integration process. Again, it reads, here is what is occurring at the highest levels. Know this, all light workers will be taken care of and supported. We did not come here to create the shift of the ages, be triumphant and successful, only to crash and burn precisely when our time has finally come. Not going to happen. Our souls are creating and navigating everything, and they know exactly what we are doing. A little later, the message reads, during this time of great transition with the old outer world, during the next few weeks, it may be best to lay low. We will not be affected by the big shift and changes in the economy. It will not be the reality for light workers. We will easily and readily step aside the experiences of the mainstream as it transitions. It greatly helps not to buy into the media and the experiences and the panic and fear of the crashing of the old world. Try and concentrate on your upcoming role and what your special contribution will be to the new world. Know that you have powers and abilities that others do not have, and with the advent of January 2006, you will most likely begin to remember what they are. And with that, I will conclude my program and say thank you very much for being with me. I do hope you liked the material I used. May God bless you. Goodbye.